Psalm 81, the Lord reminds us that worship is necessary for us, commanded by God to sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalter number 308. We'll sing the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The first, and then number 4 and 5 of Psalter number 308. Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd like to sing now, Psalter from number 299. Number 299. Let us sing the stanzas 1, 2, 5, or rather 1, 2, 3, and 7. 1, 2, 3, and then number 7 of 299. Let us now join together and pray together unto our God. Let us pray. Our most merciful and faithful God in heaven, with humble thanks, but also much joy, thank Thee for the gospel of salvation. Although it is true concerning all of us that we have come short of Thy glory, we have sinned. We apart from Christ, ungodly. But now, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, but now there is righteousness from Thee through our Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone, so that now justified are we freely by Thy grace for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died, who shed His blood, who atoned for all of our sin by His sin, by His death and the shedding of His blood, blotted out the handwriting of our sin. Freely we are justified in Thy sight. What a wonderful privilege it has also been to have that signified and sealed to us, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, so that as surely as we ate the bread and drank the wine, So eating and drinking by faith, very really and certainly partake of the finished work, the perfect work, the glorious righteousness, obedience of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are very thankful, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast come to us today again. Speak to us that encouraging, life-giving, comfort-building word of Christ Jesus our Lord. We have come into Thy house weary, weighed down with the troubles of our sin, worn out from another week of battling against our old nature, come struggling under the load of the guilt of much sin. But by the wonder of Thy grace, Thou in Thy infinite mercy hast stooped down to heal the broken hearts. Open the eyes of the blind so that we see. Heal those who have wounded themselves by reason of their sin. Has sent the captives free out of the prison house of a guilty conscience. Thou hast proclaimed liberty for Thy sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, by the same Spirit who applies to us that beautiful word of our justification, wilt Thou also lead us forth now to bring much fruit, bear forth much fruit of faith and thanksgiving, of praise and of glorying only in Thee, our Heavenly Father. And may we also trust in Thee, that Thou, our faithful Father, wilt always provide for us in body and soul what we need. May we not doubt Thy promises, but grant us the faith to believe the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Gospel. Grant also the petition of our hearts that we have for Thy church, not just here in this place, but Thy church all over the earth. Church universal. Many are Thy saints today who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who also, like us, must fight against our old nature and many sins. Also provide for them the food that they need, the bread and the water of life, Jesus Christ. Wilt Thou, in Thy good pleasure and in Thy mercy, dispense that bread and water of life from heaven by the Spirit and through the preaching of the gospel from nation to nation, from island to island of the sea, place to place, so that finally by day's end Thy people may be indeed satisfied with the righteousness of Christ, satisfied with the hope that we have of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His final appearing on the clouds of heaven, where He shall take us to be with Thee in everlasting glory in Thy house forevermore, so that we with them together may dwell with Thee at Thy table to commune with Thee in everlasting life. Bless Thy church through the earth. Many are the troubles that beset Thy people. We are the church yet in the wilderness of this life. Thou, by Thine angel, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, Thou lead and guide us through this wilderness, trying us, purifying Thy church, so that she may come forth through the trial of faith as gold, strengthened, purified, ready these last days to face what must shortly yet come to pass for the church, a time of severe persecution, great tribulation, Nevertheless, we know the time will be short, and Christ shall come quickly thereafter. Thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the Reformed faith. Thank Thee that we may know the gospel of the Scriptures, have the heritage of that truth given to us through the generations, now to this very day. Make us, by Thy Spirit, faithful sons and daughters of our spiritual forefathers, whom Thou hast used by the Spirit to bring the truth back to the church, and the church back into Thy truth. Therein we may serve Thee faithfully all the days of our life. Grant that we, and wherever Thy church is, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we may be preserved as a faithful, true church of Jesus Christ, a church which trusts not in herself, but depends entirely and understands her dependence upon Christ for everything. May we find our joy, our happiness, and our fulfillment being faithful servants of Christ the King of His church. Bless our worship now as we come to Thee in spirit and in truth. Impart to us a blessing only for Jesus' sake. Amen. One of the things that we remember in our applicatory service is that calling we have to show thanksgiving to God, part of which thanksgiving we show in our love for God's Word and His law. That's the subject of Psalter number 326, which we will sing next as part of our applicatory service. Let us sing the four stanzas of 326.
Great salvation, Lord, so shall I answer those who scoff. My trust is in Thy word. My hope is in Thy judgment, Lord. Take not Thy truth from me. And in Thy law forevermore, my daily walk shall be. And I will walk at liberty, because Thy truth I see. Thy truth before the kings of earth, with bold commands which I have loved, still new joy impart. With reverence I will hear us and keep them in my heart.
This time we will read first from Galatians chapter 6, after which we'll go to our text, Romans chapter 3, once again. First we'll read Galatians chapter 6, read the whole, all of the chapter. Galatians chapter 6, reads as follows. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now the words of our text, Romans chapter 3 again. Now moving down to verse 27 and 28. The apostle asks this question, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the question also is put to you and me. Where? What room does boasting have? Where then is boasting? That's an appropriate question, especially in the light of all that the Lord, through the Apostle, has led to explain to us about the truth of justification by faith alone. This is the question that applies to all that has been taught about how the church can stand before God without condemnation. Remember, the apostle said, all are under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all come short of the glory of God, not just a little bit, but far from the glory of God we have come short. Of ourselves, there is none that can escape condemnation before the judge, and so escape the punishment that condemnation brings. The apostle has showed, nevertheless, but now there shines the light of the gospel of Christ upon us, that There is one way out of condemnation for you. It's in Christ, by grace alone. It's called justification. God's act, forgiving your sin, saying concerning you, you are righteous in my sight. I've given to you the righteousness, the only righteousness there is. It's from me through Jesus Christ, and it's now yours. And it's entirely free to you. I have paid for it by the death of my only begotten Son. It costs you nothing. And in the payment of that debt of your sin, in the satisfying of my justice, I have been both merciful and I have been absolutely fair. Verses 25 and 26, the apostle shows that God did not bend one rule for himself in paying for the cost of our justification. In that work of justification, God did not stand above the rules of justification. He fulfilled them perfectly. He bent no rules, took no shortcuts. He did everything necessary to satisfy for your sin, to pay the price, to get you out of the prison house of sin, to earn for you complete righteousness before his law, so that when God says, justified in my sight, it's absolutely perfect. Our justification cannot be questioned. It's absolutely certain and unchangeable in the blood of Jesus Christ. Since that is true, beloved, concerning now your justification, you can say, yes, concerning my justification, I am justified. That's what we must believe. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, by faith in him, I am justified. And I have seen that at the Lord's table in the broken bread and the poured out wine. That's the payment. That's what it cost to make me justified in the sight of God. And since God has given that to you freely, it costs you no work on your part. Now the question is, where is boasting then? No room for boasting before this God who justifies us. Children will remember the parable that Jesus spoke to his disciples and others about the Pharisee who came into the house of God, the temple, and he began to pray to God about all, he thought, the wonderful things he had done for God, because of which he thought God owes it to him to give him a place in the kingdom of heaven. Did God answer him? No. God sent him home empty because there is no room before God for boasting. The proud, God says in the Psalms, shall not stand in his sight. Only the humble in the Lord. Those who know what the apostle has said in chapter 3. All under sin. All have come short of the glory of God. Those who know and say, that's me. And then who also know, the Lord says, but now you are freely justified. They will not boast before the Lord. That means, beloved, as we leave the Lord's table, have heard the Lord speak to us that glorious gospel of free justification, we may not leave the Lord's table as boasters. This gospel excludes that. No glorying in myself. No glorying in the congregation. No glorying in this or that or the other things. No. Rather, we will be, and must be, thankful Our boast must not be in us or man, but we discover in the light of Galatians chapter 6, our glorying may only be in one thing, what we saw in the Lord's Supper, the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what we must boast in. But other than that, all evil boasting is excluded. That's the title of our sermon, All Evil Boasting Excluded. First of all, what is excluded? And secondly, we'll notice how that is excluded. And finally, why must that be excluded? Why must all evil boasting be excluded? What does it mean to boast sinfully now? Sinful boasting, which the apostle is condemning in the text, is really the expression of someone's pride in usually what they have done. The one who boasts in himself says, well, the reason why I have this kind of success, this kind of wealth, or some other thing, is because of me. I'm the reason. I did this, and this is what happened, so I should receive the glory. We see that in the world around us, don't we? The world boasts, for example, in the sports world. I have this championship because I did this. Or so-and-so on the team, he's the reason for that. And all the glory of men is heaped upon that person who's designated as the MVP. Other areas of the world, society, men look to boast in themselves. This is something we're prone to do. It's easy for us to forget, to acknowledge God as the reason why we have that good grade in school, why that A plus is on the test. That's there because of God. Usually that's not the first thing we think about. We see the A plus on the paper, it's me, look at me. That's what the apostle is talking about. Where we fail to give God the glory, the honor, due His name for what He is, what He has done, what He has, and what He will continue to do for us. Those are the areas in which we are prone to boast before God. We are prone to say very high things about who we are, prone to boast in, this is what I am, look at me. And that's what Paul addresses in Romans 3 when he contends with those who said to him, well, I'm a Jew. I'm a son of Abraham. I can trace my genealogy all the way back to Father Abraham. And because I am physically connected to him, I have a right to a place in the kingdom of heaven. I must be justified because of who I am. And so they glory in comparison to all the other people in the earth. You're not a child of Abraham. But I am. So therefore, that makes me worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Paul says, no, we may not boast in that, in who we are, nor may we boast in what we have. The Bible tells us that that was a sin which David committed. David, you children will remember, commanded Joab the general to go out into the nation of Israel and begin to count all the strong men and all the tribes of Israel who could fight in the army of David. David wanted to boast in comparison to all the other nations of the earth at that time of his powerful army. God showed him that was wrong. No boasting in what we have. So we may not do that. Boast in what we have? Shall we boast in our good gifts which God gives us? Shall we boast what God has made us by His grace, a distinction from others, as though we have made ourselves different from others? No. But then we are prone also to boast in what we have done. Jesus addressed that problem in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. That passage, Jesus speaks of those who will intend in their hearts to stand before the judgment throne and say to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, look at what we have done. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name we have done these wonderful works. Do we not then deserve something now?" They boasted, intended to boast before the Lord in all the things which they did, as though these things would amount to something in the sight of the Lord, because of which the Lord would now owe them a blessing, owe them a place in the kingdom of heaven, or a place of glory higher than others in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord says to them, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, I don't know you, who are you? You don't belong in my kingdom. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The Lord underscores, even as those in the church to serve the Lord, even in our service of the Lord, even that is something we may not boast about. And then in the fourth place, we may be prone to boast in what we think we can do. The rich fool did that in Luke chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. He made that mistake, a terrible sin. He said, looking at the potential harvest in his fields, he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. I will bestow all my fruits and my goods into that barn. I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Soul, you will take your ease. You will eat and you will drink and you will be merry. This is what I will do. This is the future that I will have. This is the way it shall be.'" What was he doing? The Lord tells us not to do in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not in tomorrow." You are not in control of your future. You don't know what's going to happen even later today. You cannot boast. You cannot think, "Because I am who I am, this is what's going to happen tomorrow." We're not God. We are not in control. We cannot claim to ourselves some kind of glory. Only belongs to God, the God of providence, because of which nothing happens by chance in our lives. We may not boast in who we are, what we have, what we have done, or even what we have planned for tomorrow. All of that, the apostle says, is excluded before the Lord. By the word excluded, you have to have in your mind the picture of a palace room where the king sits on his throne, and then the door into the palace room where the king sits in his judgment throne. The idea of exclude means that at the door there are soldiers who question those who come in the door, check to see what they're wearing or how they're speaking. And they allow people to come in, or they may have to keep others out. The idea of this word is that if someone would, it's not possible, but using the figure here, if someone would attempt to try as a boaster to come into the presence of God, to stand before His throne, the word exclude means he cannot even get past the door. In the Psalms, God said, "The proud boaster shall not stand before him in his sight. The Pharisee who offered up that prayer in the parable of Jesus regarding the Pharisee and the publican, that prayer was not heard by God. They are excluded from the presence of God. Someone may want to boast in themselves or their works, which they think, this has given me a place in the kingdom of heaven. They may imagine that, some may imagine, well, I can get away with my boasting on the earth. When we stand before the triune God, all boasting is condemned. And it's excluded. Think of it, when the day comes, when all are before the final judgment throne of Christ, there will be no boasters before him. None whatsoever. All boasting in God's sight is excluded. It's not permitted. Yes, we may not do that. We may not boast in ourselves. The only kind of boasting that God will allow before his throne is what you find in Galatians chapter 6. The apostle says, I will glory in only one thing. That word glory is the same word here in the text of boasting. I will boast in only one thing, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's it. Because in the cross of Christ, all evil boasting is destroyed. What is left is glorying only in the Lord. And thus, when we leave the Lord's table, having seen the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ signified and sealed to us, as it was proclaimed in the preaching, we may not boast as the reason why we were there around the Lord's table. I'm here. Others might not be, but I'm here because I did this, I did that. This is who I am. This is what I have done. This is what I will do. So I deserve a place here. No, you don't. I don't either. That's excluded. The apostle says, no boasting. Shall I boast in my good works as the reason why I am justified freely? No. Shall I boast in my faith as the reason for the privilege to be justified and to sit with the Lord at his table? No. That's excluded. Shall I boast in the fact that I am not a boaster? No, I mayn't even do that. No boasting in man, in whatever I do. All of that is excluded by God. How? What is the name of the soldier that stands at the door of the palace that does not let the boasters in? The name of that soldier in the text is not the law of works. On the helmet of that soldier, you do not find the words, by the law of works. The apostle says that, teaches that truth. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what? The law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Well, first of all, what silences, what keeps the boaster out of the throne room of God? The law of works? No. What is that law of works? What does that mean? The word law here means the Old Testament, means not so much the Old Testament laws of Moses or the moral laws, but it's the principle or the rule of works. The principle of doing things according to God's law, by which to establish our justification. That's the idea of the word law in verse 27. Not so much the Ten Commandments, but that word law means by the principle of salvation by works or justification by works. Does that principle of justification by works, is that the name of the soldier that keeps the boasters out of the throne room of God? The answer is no. In fact, if that were the sentry at the door of the palace room of God's throne room, that sentry would let in those who tried by their works to justify themselves. The principle of works says, you do this obedience, you pay this money, you pray these prayers, these things will amount to something towards your justification, in return for which God must forgive your sin and bless you. And then, according to that principle of works, then we would have something upon which to boast before God. We could say, yeah, God did his part in our justification, but I have done my part. I believed, I did this good work here and that good work, and to the amount of good works, I attribute my justification to that amount. I may think about myself rather highly and boast in myself and say, look what I did, look what God did, but also look at what I did to establish my justification. That's boasting. The law of works, if that were the name of the soldier at the door of the palace room of God, he could not let the boasters boast in their works to be justified. He could not keep them out. In fact, he would be the one telling them to come in. The principle of works promotes boasting in ourselves before God. Boasting in something that we are, that we have done, that we have, or might do in the future. The principle of works, salvation by works, promotes that kind of glorying, not in the Lord, but in us. That's the false teaching which the church has faced through history. Said no to the principle of works. Isn't the gospel of grace? There are some who have argued that verse 27, when it speaks of the law of works, in distinction from the law of faith, it says that law there means just the Ten Commandments. It says, or I should rephrase that. They argue that the law of works here refers merely to the ceremonial laws of the Jews. Those laws, they would say yes. Those things are past. And we're not justified by keeping the feast of the Passover or the Day of Atonement or the Feast of Tabernacles. We don't have to do that. That's excluded. But, they say, Paul did not refer to by the law of works the Ten Commandments, so that the keeping of the Ten Commandments is part of the law of faith. Faith and good works are the things which justify us. That's what Luther fought. That's what John Calvin fought. The Reformed Fathers fought that, trying to read into the text, verse 27, the idea that we are justified by faith and obedience to the Ten Commandments. Not only is that heresy, semi-Pelagianism, or even Arminianism, but worse yet, that false teaching promotes people to come into the palace room of God, to stand before His throne and say, look at me. Look at what I have done. To say that to the God of heaven and earth, who spared not His only begotten Son for us. That terrible. It teaches people to boast right into the face of Almighty God. But as we've seen, the Lord will not allow the boasters to stand in His sight, so that we can conclude the name on the soldier that guards the door of the palace room of God and keeps out the boasters, his name is not the law or the rule of works, the works of the law. Rather, his name is the law of faith, the principle of faith. When we understand justification according to that principle of faith, there is no room for boasting. What is that law of faith regarding salvation and justification then? That principle, law, or rule of faith? When the child of God walks according to that principle, he says concerning himself, nothing different than what the apostle has already said. I am, apart from Christ, ungodly. I, of myself, have come short of the glory of God. I am under sin. And when he comes towards the palace room of God, he's not thinking, look at me. He's thinking, don't look at me. And he himself looks away from himself and says, look at Christ. That's the principle of faith. Faith always looks away from ourselves, away from what we have, from what we have done, what we might do, and looks solely at what Christ has done, and who He is, and what He has, and what He will do for you and me. Focused on Christ. When the faith is focused on Christ, how can you boast in self? You look at the death of Jesus Christ, you stand by faith beholding that wonder of salvation of the cross of Christ, the death of the only begotten Son of God, fixed to the cross by His love for us. You're not going to be talking about yourself anymore. What is there to say? Going to come into the throne room of God for the glorious truth of the works of Christ, the grace of God, and say, Lord, look at what I have done. What we have done in comparison to what God has done and Christ has done. If we would attempt to do that, Isaiah says, we hold in our hands a heap of filthy rags. That's it. Faith would never do that. Faith comes with empty pockets into the throne room of God, empty hands. Not saying, Lord, Lord, look what I have done. No. Looking to Christ. Look at what Christ has done. That's my hope. That's my glory. And if there would be someone who would yet say, but maybe I can still glory in my faith itself, the faith by which I look to Christ. I can glory in Christ and my faith by which I believe in Christ. This is a reason why I am justified. Then faith, the principle of faith, that soldier at the door says to us, you don't understand what faith is. Your faith is a gift of God. How can you glory in something that's been freely given to you, which you haven't even earned? Your faith is a sovereign gift of God by which He connects you to Christ. And connecting you to Christ and causes out of that invisible bond within our hearts to come to expression in our hearts and our knowing and believing in Christ. How, when the Spirit works that in us by His grace, how can you take credit for that? When we see faith then, and even the activity of faith, from the viewpoint of Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, we can't boast in that. Can you take credit for your faith? No. None of us can. And so there is nothing in which we can boast about ourselves. Absolutely nothing. The law of faith, that principle of faith, when applied to salvation and justification, it excludes every single last attempt of man to boast in himself as the reason, to some degree, for his salvation. And instead teaches you and me to say, I am the sinner. I am ungodly. I cannot save myself. I can do nothing to justify myself. I need Christ. He is the reason why I have righteousness before God. Why God, when He looks upon me, doesn't see my sin. It's the blood which covers me. And that's all been freely given to me by grace alone, through the gift of faith. Beloved, that puts before us the question then, by what principle then do you leave the Lord's table? You're going to go down the path of works, the path of faith, the law of works, or the law of faith? God commands us, you leave my table now, having tasted of the glories of the wonder of grace. This is the way you must go, the way of faith, where boasting is excluded. Going down this way of thanksgiving to God, you will not say, look at me. No. Look at what God has done for me. Look at what Christ has done for me, an undeserving sinner. You will boast Christ alone, this way of faith. That's necessary, beloved, that boasting be excluded. And it is excluded, the text teaches, because God justifies the ungodly through faith alone. The man that is justified in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man, what kind of a man is that? The earlier part of chapter 3 tells us, God justifies righteous people? No. The ungodly. Yes, they are elect. That's not the concern of the text here. That comes later in Romans chapter 9. Here, the concern is we understand what kind of sinner does God justify? People who are partly righteous, they're 99% ungodly, 1% righteous? No. They are ungodly, 100%. The truth of justification reminds us that's who we are. That's the ones whom God justifies. Those who are of themselves, zero. Nothing before God. Of themselves, nothing. Zero. That's why boasting is excluded. If you're nothing, you have nothing, you've done nothing, will do nothing for your justification, then you have nothing to boast in. Zero reasons to boast in yourself. Boasting is excluded. That's the reason. Justification by faith alone excludes any kind of boasting. Except this, glorying in the Lord. We may glory in Him because of what He is. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. He is the righteousness of God to us, His people. And He has done something of which we may boast. The cross of Jesus Christ, where He paid for our sin, earned our righteousness before God, established our inheritance in the heavenly Canaan, so that as you walk as strangers and pilgrims to the earth, you already have a place marked out with gracious care in glory. That's what He has done for you. And we may glory in Him because of what He has. He has glory with God at God's right hand. The glory which must be yours because of His perfect work. And then we may glory in Him because of what He will do the rest of your life. He will work, as Romans 8 will teach us, all things together for your good. And that good is that you may be with Him in the things which He has now at God's right hand. Glory and honor and everlasting life in body and soul. And all the way to that place in glory with Him, He will make sure that you will be preserved unto that goal. Looking away then from yourself, look now at Christ. Now walk in thanksgiving to Him and the rule of faith. Then your boasting will not be in yourself. For the cross, that boasting is crushed. For the cross, what have we to boast in? He was crucified for us. Nothing. I am nothing. Yes. But now I may also say, Christ is my everything. He is my righteousness. He is my glory. He is my hope. He is my peace with God today, tomorrow, and forever. Beloved, boast not in yourselves. Certainly, but boast then only in the cross of your Lord Jesus Christ, through which you are justified by faith alone, without the works of the law. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we may hear again today the gospel of Christ. May this motivate us unto a life of thanksgiving. May it teach us that our worth is only in the righteousness and the glory of Christ. He is our everything from beginning to end. May our boast be in nothing less than the cross of Christ, in which He finished all of our salvation. By His resurrection from the dead, has given to us a wonderful hope of everlasting life. Send us home now with Thy blessing and thanksgiving in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. This time let us give our offerings to the general fund as well as to the building fund. We'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4 of number 317. I shall not let God live and tell the wonders of the Lord. He hath not given my soul to death, but chastened and restored. Let us now receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.